Put your life jackets on, because it's going to get deeper here. Because this next, once you go phrase by phrase, and you get to the first phase, the first phase, now here's the second phase, because once we identify who these people are, or these beings were, then we have to find out, now we're going to talk about, well, what in the world did they do? And it gets weird, but, you know, it makes sense when you start to study it all and look at it, and you look at the world, and you look at how much God absolutely hates sexual perversion. He hates it. And he hates, fornication even the doctrines, false doctrine and perversions and everything else. He hates it. These fallen angels, these sons of God, you know, that we'll find out what exactly they did here. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, I pray for clarity and wisdom here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. By the way, let me just ask you a question here. The mighty men of old, men of renown, these are infamous men. This means they were, and usually they're infamous for evil, okay? They were evil, powerful men, powerful that they bear to them, evil, powerful men. Now, last time I checked, just a lost person getting with a saved person doesn't really create somebody that's absolutely, first of all, a giant and very huge, and then second of all, evil and powerful. I mean that, you know, to the point that the Lord would even mention it in Scripture as something that was so bad and so heinous that he destroyed the earth for it and everything in it. Think about that. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, in our last message, we covered who were these sons of God? Who were these? And we seen from Scripture that as we look through there in the Old Testament, they could be none other than angels were called the sons of God. They were with the Lord, and the sons of God shouted for joy at the foundations of the earth being laid, and they were there to see that. And interesting enough, it says the morning stars sing as well, and the sons of God shouted for joy, all the stars. But anyway, that's interesting. Now, what did these angels do that was so heinous and wicked? What did they do, and what transpired from that? The Bible clearly says here that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them wives of all which they chose. So the Bible is clear these angels are these sons of God, which in Hebrew is the word, can be the fallen ones, or Nephilim is what they're called in Hebrew, the fallen ones, okay, took women and wives and had children with them. You say, wait a minute, what about what Jesus said in his message on the Sermon on the Mount, or in the New Testament, what he said? Well, turn there. That's a very good question. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Let's get that out of the way right away, and let's because that's the first argument that people say is, well, come on now, yeah, the sons of God have to be the godly line of Seth, which, listen to me, folks, if you study the Bible at all, you cannot come to the conclusion of a godly line of Seth. That's what these sons of God were. You can't come to that unless you're inventing that in your own mind, because it's not there in Scripture. You can't find that there. You can't see it at all. It's not there. It's just not. But the objection always comes up, well, wait a minute now. It says that the angels were never in heaven, were never given in marriage. And they were never, yeah, that's very interesting. Mark 12:25. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now notice there's an important phrase there. Let me see if you pick up on the next one. In Matthew chapter 22 verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Did you catch that? Luke chapter 20 and verse number 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God and the children of the resurrection. What's he talking about? Jesus was very specific and said that the angels in heaven do not marry, or they're not given in marriage. But he always prefaces that by saying what? In heaven. In heaven. In heaven. Right? Well, did these sons of God, did they stay in heaven? What did they do? What happened to these angels, these sons of God? Where does this contradict Scripture here? No, it only cements, I believe, the teaching even more. It only even makes it proof more of what Jesus was talking about. Because he's setting the preference of, yeah, when you get in the resurrection, I mean, yeah, you're not going to marry or not given in marriage. You're going to be like the angels in heaven. Turn to Jude, though. There's a clue in the New Testament that we cannot ignore. Jude 1:6. There's a group of angels here that is spoken about. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says this, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation." Wait a minute now. So Jude is going back and he's referencing some angels that left not their first estate. Now what did Jesus say? Jesus said that the angels in heaven are not given in marriage. That is their first estate, to be in heaven. That's their own habitation. Heaven. Heavenly realm. Celestial realm. Their own habitation. But what did they do? This group of angels, some group of angels here, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Now, verse number 7 is very, we'll talk about that later on today in the last service. But verse number 7 is very interesting because it makes a comparison. Remember, what did the sons of God do that came in under the daughters of men? They chose them wives of all which they took them wives of all that they chose. Took them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think these sons of God went to the fathers and said, "Hey, I want your daughter"? Well, it says here they took them. I think they just grabbed the women. The women were attracted to them. They seen them alone. They came to them just like Satan did to Eve. Starting to see the correlation here? Starting to see why a woman's supposed to have a covering, because she can be fooled very easily. A lot of women don't like that. They get very upset when you say that. But I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. It never has yet, never will. Because it's true. Lady, you're easy to fool. Amen. That's not a bad thing, by the way. As long as you have a covering. Only your pride would make you think that you don't need one. Only your pride! That's all that it would be, is pride. Oh, I can make decisions independent, on my own, do what I want to do. I know what I'm doing. That's what every other woman thought in the Bible that went astray. That's what happened when Jezebel ran the kingdom and ran her husband. Jezebel's a good reason why you shouldn't let a woman run your house. Amen? Or run the family. She can be the guide. She can guide the children. Amen. Jude 1:7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah." Wait a minute. Now let's go back to verse number 6. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation." And then he goes on to say, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah." Wait a minute. So apparently these angels did something like what Sodom and Gomorrah did. What was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? "And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication." Oh, wait a minute. So the angels which kept not their first estate in like manner gave themselves over to fornication like they did in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, I mean, he said it. I didn't make it up. It's right there. You see it. He said, "Even as like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about in like manner of them, giving themselves over to fornication." But here's the key also. He gives you more of an explanation. "And going after strange flesh." Anybody know what the strange flesh that they went after in Sodom was? What was the sin of Sodom? Thank you. Homosexuality, sodomites, right? They were sodomites. Now, how did the sons of God, how did these angels that left their first estate and left their own habitation, well, what would be strange flesh to them? Women. Why? Because God didn't make them to cohabit with women. God didn't make them to marry. So what did they do? Well, apparently here, it says they were just like Sodom. They went after strange flesh. Listen, you believe in an every word Bible, right? He's making the comparison here. He's saying that these angels kept not their first estate. Well, what was their first estate? Heaven. Well, what was their own habitation? Not to cohabit with women. But what did they do? Went after strange flesh, fornicated, and went after strange flesh. Well, that's very interesting, because that would say two things. First of all, God didn't honor their marriages. And, I mean, the extra biblical references and historical references will say that when God brought judgment down, that God said to them, you know, go tell those bastards and their sons that there is no forgiveness for them. And I'll get to that later. But anyway, that's what some historical records have said. But anyway, back to the inspired word of God here and take our truths from here. Then when history backs that up, all the better. If it doesn't, then we chuck out history and we don't care what it says. Amen. But when history gives a reference of it, it's good to mention it. It very clearly states here that there were angels that left their first estate as angelic beings in the heavens and the servants of God to come to earth. It also says that these angels that kept not their first estate were even as Sodom and Gomorrah. In like manner as the angels that kept not their first estate gave themselves over to fornication, and they went after strange flesh. Strange flesh to a man is another man. Strange flesh to an angel would be a woman, but it could also be animals. It could also be bestiality and all manner of wickedness. That may shock you, but it shouldn't. His wickedness has abounded in this world. They left their own celestial habitation to fornicate with women and to make children. You say, is there any other proof of this in the Bible that these sons of God, what they did with these daughters of men? Good question. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hope you're learning something here. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, oh, what did they do? But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person. Isn't it interesting? Now, why in the world does he mention the angels that sinned with Noah? Odd. Satan sinned way before Noah was ever there. So what group of angels is he speaking of that sinned at the time of Noah? Why is he making that comparison? It says, and spared not the old world, he continues it on, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Well, what else did he do? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. Why does he mention Sodom and Gomorrah again? Jude mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. All with these fallen angels that kept not their first estate. They didn't stay in their habitation. They didn't stay in the bounds where God had created them for. These angels left their first estate and went into wickedness. What wickedness? Strange flesh? Fornication. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now these angels are these sons of God sinned, and they're in the same compartment of hell, which we'll touch later in the next message. We'll cover that. Now is it shocking here that this references again that time of Noah and the angels that sinned? Could you imagine the things for a minute here of what Noah saw? For all those years preparing the ark, Now there is historical, well, we know he saw giants on the earth. We know he saw sons of God came in under the daughters of men. We know he saw that. We know he saw giants roaming the earth. I mean, folks, there is a lot of evidence out there. I have an old Baptist, J.L. Porter, a book by him called The Giant Cities of Bashan. And where he went back in 1840s and he went over to Palestine, that area, and he went to Og, king of Bashan's land, and went through the giant cities of there, and all through the area of Palestine, and they say that they have the tomb of Abel there, and it was 30 feet long, the tomb of Abel was. That they say that Noah's tomb was 70 yards long. They say that, now that doesn't mean he was 70 yards, because you always build a tomb bigger than, you know, just to shove a guy in there or whatever. But it was big. It was large. Og, king of Bashan, was 13 feet tall, 13 to 15 feet tall, they estimate. Maximinus, now we're not going to get into that today, Maximinian and all those other things. We'll get into that in another message, but we'll cover how that happened afterwards too. But anyway, these giants, some speculate that their children or their offspring were 30 to 40 feet tall. And I mean, there was just a lot of things. You say, oh, that's just crazy. No, it's not. It isn't. It isn't. It isn't. It's just like it's not crazy that one of David's men slew two lion-like men of Moab. Well, that's crazy. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't write it, but it says he did. And he slew the giants, and he slew Goliath's brother. Six fingers, six toes on each hand. And foot. You ignore the spirit world. Go ahead and do it. Anyway, back to this and the sons of God. Because we're not really talking about the giants right now. We're talking about the sons of God. But could you imagine what Noah saw? The things that he saw in his time. I'm going to preach you a message on the days of Noah sometime. And we're going to talk about some of the things that Noah actually experienced. And some of the things would knock your socks off if you really understood what was going on during that time. You think God just destroyed the earth because a few people were sinning? Well, listen, folks, sin's been going on rampant and wicked for a while, but it hasn't reached the height of the days of Noah. Because the days of Noah were wicked. More wicked than we've ever seen. Anyway, he mentions fornication, Sodom, fallen sons of God, together again, easily, because that same sin of the fallen ones, we can understand, was committed. The sins of Sodom and going after strange flesh. It's very easy to understand that that's what was going on there. And that he explains it to you. He tells you exactly what happened here. If you'll just have ears to hear and a heart to listen to what's going on here, he goes back to Genesis. He talks about a group of these angels that had left their first estate. They had fallen. And they were put somewhere. He explains all of that very clearly. What was the result of these unions of angels and women? Well, Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The result of these unions were giants were brought forth in the earth. Giants can be found in the Bible, and the Word of God has been very clear that they are real. Goliath was a giant as well, estimated at 12 to 13 feet tall. Og, king of Bashan, was 13 to 15 feet tall. Many others, they found skeletons of 30-foot tall people. Now, whenever they find things like that, they call the authorities and the Smithsonian and those kind of groups get together, and you'll never find those things again. Once somebody finds some ancient artifacts, Stephen Quayle says that there is a law out there in America that if any of these things are found, that they are Indian artifacts, and they can immediately come in and confiscate those artifacts that they find. They can just come in and take them right away. I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes a lot of sense. Because we've heard in history where people have talked about how they have found things, and then you never see those people again. They're just gone. Why? Why would they want proof that man was actually more intelligent before. Bigger. Because it would destroy the evolutionary theory completely. Listen, Satan's greatest trick he's ever pulled is to get man to believe he isn't there. He doesn't really exist. And I believe Christians in this spirit world, the issue of the spirit world, they don't understand it if they don't want to understand this. They don't want to understand what really happened. They don't want to understand these sons of God came into the daughters of men and that these mighty men of old came from them, the men of renown. They don't want to those infamous men, those wicked men. Anyway, the Lord said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. He explained that there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. These Nephilim were different than the giants that were in the earth after the flood. We'll talk about those. Many say those were the Rephim, or they use a different name for them. But, you know, there's a lot of, we don't have time to talk about it right now, but there's genetic modification. There's a lot of things. You've heard of genetically modified food, correct? And some other things like that. Well, let me just assure you of something. That is all a precursor to what's really going on. All of that stuff is the beginning. And whatever the government has told you that they have done so far, they are 70 years past that already. And you say, do you believe, preacher, they can clone things and put animals in humans? Yeah, I believe they have, and I believe they do. And I don't care what you think of me. I really don't care. I don't care if that bothers you. I don't care if you think I'm a kook for believing that. I don't trust the government. I sure don't trust the devil. I understand the wickedness that abounds in this world. And I understand because I've seen things, and I believe historically, and I believe what the Bible says, that we're going to return to those days of Noah. Because Jesus said it. I believe him. Anyway, that word, these Nephilim, that word, these giants, the Nephilim were actually the sons of God, but their offspring were very tall, huge men. They were men of renown, which that word means heroes of evil. It gives the idea of that, heroes of evil. Evil men of renown. Men of old. Evil in the land. History records a similar teaching. I'm going to say this two or three times so no one misses this, okay? And no one thinks that I'm adding to the Word of God, or no one accuses me of saying this is equal to the Word of God. I'm going to read you some quotes from an historical book, the Book of Enoch. I realize the Book of Enoch is not the Word of God. It is not the inspired Word of God. I understand that. I'm being very clear about this, that I'm reading it for a historical value only. So I'm prefacing that. So I don't get somebody on the internet or somebody else say, hey, you think that the Book of Enoch is the Word of God. No, I didn't say that. I said it's historical. And when history agrees with the Bible, what's wrong with reading history? Amen? So anyway, understand that. But I want you to listen to this. This is not the Word of God. This is the Book of Enoch. It's just a historical reference. And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heavens, saw and lusted after them and said one to another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and beget us children. And Semhaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by the mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together and bound themselves by the mutual imprecations upon it. And they were all in 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders. And he goes on to explain the leaders of some of these angels and these fallen angels and the leaders that were over them. These are their chiefs of 10. Excuse me 1 minute. And all the others, together with them, took unto them wives, and each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them. And they taught. Now listen to this. Again, historical record. But remember now, there's websites like JesusIsSavior.com. So, the Book of Enoch is completely false, and the Bible never references. Well, I'll prove that guy's a liar anytime, because he is lying about that. The guy doesn't even believe in repentance either. But anyway, that's another story. But there are historical references, and Jude mentions Enoch and his prophecies, and other parts of Scripture mention Enoch as well. That doesn't mean that it's inspired, it's infallible. It doesn't mean any of that. I understand it's not the Word of God. I'm simply saying it's a historical record, though. And all others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose one for himself. But listen to what it says here. It says, they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots and made them acquainted with plants. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know that from plants come heroin. Amen? Yeah, pharmaceutica, the drugs, everything. They taught them the art of the apothecary, the art of drugs, the art. You say you believe that? Yeah, I do believe that. I don't believe man invented that themselves and figured all that out. I believe that angelic beings taught them those things. I do believe that. And I do believe demons do that today. Does that sound crazy to you? Do you not believe that there's a spirit? I'm sorry. Then who is the ones that are working against the spiritual, against the church? The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, what are we wrestling against then? If they're not real, if there's nothing there, then what are we wrestling against? You don't believe Hitler was demon possessed? You don't believe Aleister Crowley was demon possessed? Really? You don't believe that? You don't believe they were led by the devil as we are led by the Spirit of God? Oh, I get it. The devil went down to hell and took a nap for 2,000 years. Now he's just been sleeping, right? All the demons and devils and wicked, they just been sleeping. They ain't fighting anybody. Nah, the church is fine. We're just rolling on. We believe, what is it, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that Satan is, he's locked up. He ain't even doing anything right now. He's just, he's not even a factor right now. One of those groups believe that. I can't remember which one it is. He's bound. He's not even doing anything. This is the kingdom right now. This is all we're living it all right now, and this is all. Christ is not going to come back. If this is the millennial reign of Christ, it's sad. Because that little Antichrist president we have up there, that little descendant of Nimrod there, he's doing all the wickedness you could imagine, and planning to do more. So yes, I do believe that that's what they're doing. I do believe that they actively taught this, and I do believe this. Why? Because the Bible says that there's a spirit world, and it says that man has interacted with them. Amen? And, oh, well, wait a minute. I guess the serpent, the devil, he came to Eve too. Oh, but he doesn't work anymore. He doesn't do any of that. That's spirit world stuff. Come on. Well, what do we need spiritual armor if there's no spiritual battle? Who are we fighting then? When Christ cast out legion, he said, we are legion, we are many. Oh, did they just go away? I mean, they didn't go to the abyss. He said, don't send us to the abyss. Oh, don't do that. Don't send us there yet. So I'll send you to some pigs. Yeah, Satan took him up and tempted him. Think about it. Anyways, very interesting. A historical record only, of course. And to defile themselves with him, they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots. You think, without satanic influence, who could figure out how to do spells and witchcraft? Now, these angels, they understood those things. Why? Because they were there when the earth was created. And they knew the stars, which we'll get to. Hold on. And they made them acquainted with plants, the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells. I don't know what an ell is. Who consumed all the acquisitions of men. They say history records. Now, again, history, not the word of God. I said history. History records that these giant men ate up all the food. They just ate up all the substance, and they basically ate themselves out of house and home, literally. That's what they did. Literally. And then they started eating each other. So that's kind of what was, I know it sounds gross and disgusting, but cannibalism. Oh, wait a minute. Don't we have islands that are cannibals now and they eat human beings? Don't you see movies that they're making now, people that are frozen and they're eating their brother when they're frozen out in the middle? What are they doing? They're teaching you satanic principles. They want you to eat a human. They want you to think that way. Why? They want you to think like Twilight. They want you to think like that with things. Because it's going to happen again. That's why. They want you to think like that. Why are we so dumb and why are you supporting that garbage? It's a bunch of satanic garbage. They want you to think like that. Why? Well, because it's demonic. Hey, how about I show you an article that proves to you that Star Wars is nothing but demonic activity? The references are demonic, and I can show you they are. I can show you the names that are demonic. I can show you all of it, all the way through that it's spiritism. It's the choice between white magic and black magic. And I can show you the names of them, too, as well, that those names and what they come from. I pull up an article right now and show you that. And that's what they are. I think Chewbacca might be a son of a Nephilim. I don't know. It could be. You said Chewbacca and I heard you. That could be Bigfoot. Anyway. So he talks about this. He says they consume. Now listen to this. Listen to this here. Who consumed all, and again, this is not scripture, historical record. Who consumed all the acquisitions of men, and when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. So it's saying that these large beings, these giants, were corrupting all of mankind. They were taking people's wives and their food, and people were starving. The days of Noah, it was just a wicked time. It says here, and they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. You think man taught himself bestiality? I doubt it. And by the way, that is real. I've got two books at home that, I mean, we know it's real, but I've got two books at home that talk about America. And I can't think of the man's name now, but he hated Baptists. He left us out of the books of the history of Christ in America. And I can't think of that dirty dog Puritan's name right now. The one that, what was his name? Anyway, he was a dastardly fella, but to Baptist anyway, and he burnt Quakers and everybody else. Thank you, Cotton Mather, that's it, and his son, Ignatius Mather there, or whatever his name was. No, not Ignatius, the other one, Increase Mather. Yeah, those guys, they write of his stories, and I could read it to them, in 1600 of bestiality going on, them having trials and putting those men to death. Because a son caught his father in that act. They happen. But anyway, it says here, then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. Now again, the book of Enoch is not the Bible, but we do see, you know, I do believe that it agrees, and it kind of just explains the story out. All the teaching is in the Word of God that these sons of God, why on earth was the world so wicked? Why? I mean, it's wicked now, but not like that. Not like that. It is not. Why? Well, first of all, man's not as smart as he was then. That's the first reason. We don't have that same intelligence. Now, what was the goal of these fallen angels? What was the goal? The goal of these fallen angels, these Nephilim, the goal of them, I believe you can find in God's pronouncement to Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8 says all this stuff was going on, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, the sons of God, daughters of men, men of renown, men of old, Noah, perfect in his generations. What did that mean? It meant that his generation had, his seed had not been intermingled with these sons of God. His seed was perfect. Now, why is that important? Well, as a born-again believer, it's very important because Christ would come through that seed. So what was the goal of the, some people say, well, yeah, but he couldn't come from, that's why it's the sons of God and the daughters of men were Cain and his offspring, and because God couldn't come through Cain. Listen, God brought Christ through a harlot. Rahab the harlot, she wasn't an Israelite. Hello? Right? Solomon? I mean, David? And Bathsheba, the sin of Bathsheba? Oh? God brought him through that. What was the real deal then? They were trying to pervert the seed of the Christ. Why? Because of a promise way back in Genesis chapter 3. And I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. So what happened? It was getting pretty close. Down to one man. And God said, gotta end it. Everybody else has been defiled. There's only one man standing. Let's get it done. Time to fill the earth with water and end it all and get rid of all. They're getting close. They've almost infected every seed on the earth. Well, what did he say to him? Well, let's go back here. First of all, let me read you some things. We know the Lord used a whore to be in the lineage, so we understand that with Rahab the harlot, she was the whore. Okay, a harlot. Same thing. Why couldn't he use Cain's offspring if he wanted to? But clearly Noah and his generations were perfect. He was not infiltrated by them. But Noah was taught by Enoch and Methuselah not to intermingle with the wicked line of the Nephilim. See, they understood because that Enoch, that preacher of righteousness, remember him? The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now you say, well, that's future tense. Can be, but I believe it was right there. Enoch was warning them. Enoch was warning them of God's judgment was coming on the earth. And Noah understood that. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Why? Because he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 300 some years. Repent. Enoch did this, he preached and he warned them and his seed listened to him and Lamech listened to Methuselah and on and on and on as it goes. Noah was warned of these Nephilim, he saw their destruction, and he kept his seed pure. Why? Because the Messiah would come through his seed and the whole goal of the Nephilim was to pervert the seed of the Messiah, was to stop it from coming. Why? Well, go back to Genesis 3 again. Enmity between thy seed and her seed. Now history records that 200 of these Nephilim took wives and spread through the whole world. So you see the Nephilim tried to destroy that and the sons of God left their first estate and came down to the daughters of men, the same bare children, men of old, men of renown, to destroy that seed of the Messiah. Because the Lord said to Noah in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. There is also evidence to believe that they perverted animals as well and that all flesh corrupted himself. Now listen to this. One man standing. One man left. The earth was also corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. Well, what was corrupted? He says it here. And God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt. For, look at this word. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. But thee only have I seen righteous. Thee I have seen righteous in this generation. But all flesh had corrupted itself. He was it. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Why was it filled with violence? Remember the offspring of the sons of God? The Bible says they were men of renown, men of old, renowned for their wickedness and their violence that they had filled the earth with. Why? Because they were narrowing it down to infect everybody so the Messiah could not come. They thought they could accomplish that. And God saw the wickedness of the earth, and he saw it was great. And he said, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at that. It says, and the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, the them is all flesh, we understand. Amen. But he said, I'm going to destroy it all. History also records the beast mixed with humans and other inventions. I believe this is why Noah had to gather all the animals that were not hybrid or mixed. And I believe the earth was very corrupt and the fallen angels had really messed creation up. They had perverted it completely. The book of Enoch records that, again, that they had sinned against animals and such. It was a very wicked time on earth. But the Bible says Noah was perfect in his generations and had not been tainted by the Nephilim or the fallen sons of God. Amen. We'll cover the next half, what happened to those sons of God in the last hour. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just pray that we'd understand it, glean from it, Lord, accept it as the truth, and understand this great spiritual battle that we're in and facing in the future and what it holds. Thank you for your mercy and your book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.